God's unfailing love. Now, if you were here this morning, and I think you were, all of you, you'll know that the title this morning was God is Love, and the theme for today is that first theme that we're looking at in Advent is the love of God. Tonight, I want us to look at another aspect of God's love, and in particular, God's unfailing and faithful love. I think you would agree with me. It's evident that the psalmist, David, was in a true loving relationship with his God. None of us would deny that. And we know this because we are told quite a lot about him in the Psalms and in other books in Scripture. But in Psalm 13, and this is our reading for tonight, Psalm 13, verses 5 to 6. And this is what David said. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. The fact is, folks, that some people have been in relationships where someone was not loving or good to them. The good news is that we will never ever experience that with God and his Son. God does not love us today and cast us aside tomorrow. He can't love us today and hate us tomorrow. And this is a wonderful truth, that God's love is not dependent on how good we are. It's just as well sometimes. But God's love is consistent. God's love is continuous and God's love is complete. And again, David writes in Psalm 26, verse 3, I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. And when I read that, I questioned myself. And I thought, can you say that? Can you honestly say that you are always mindful of God's unfailing love? And the answer to that is no. I'm not. Sometimes I take God's unfailing love for granted. Often I also take his faithfulness for granted. And I shouldn't. We shouldn't. But God's love is always faithful. And as I sort of said this, I think this morning also alluded to it, we cannot say the same about human love. Again, David in Psalm 36, he wrote, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And again, I think I did mention this a little bit this morning. How can we put a price on God's? This morning it wasn't God's unfailing, it was just God's love this morning. But how can we put a price on God's unfailing love and his faithfulness? How could we ever calculate that? That's an interesting analogy that David uses here. He talks about how priceless is your unfailing love, O God, and then he gives this analogy. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I'm guessing that the psalmist probably used this illustration of a bird with outstretched wings because at some time in his life he has actually encountered this or witnessed this event. And you can imagine it in the scorching noonday heat, the parent bird, the eagle for talk's sake, with that young eaglet and the blistering sun coming down, and the eagle will spread out her wings and bring shade to that little bird so that it doesn't fry in the sun. This is a true story. I haven't got this written down, but it just literally came into my mind. A number of years ago, Pastor Spence, Mrs. Spence, had been out shopping, and it had been a really hot day, and they forgot that they'd left the budgie out in the conservatory. And they came home, and literally, the budgie was on his back with his wee feet up in the air. It's not funny, I suppose. But the heat killed it. The scorching heat in the conservatory killed the budgie. So we can perhaps grasp the brevity of how dangerous it can be out in the scorching sun, the potentially deadly sun. You know, creatures as well as human beings can die of sunstroke. I'm sure you knew that. Probably the nearest we could ever get to wings to shade us from the blistering sun would be one of these. I'm not superstitious about putting umbrellas up inside, folks. So. But you've seen people walking around, and it hasn't been raining, but they've got an umbrella in their hand. So what's going on there? They're literally shading themselves from the sun. When you go on holidays sometimes, and you go on to the beach or even around the pool, do you ever see people scrambling to get the parasols? So that once the noonday sun gets up, they want to get out of it and they want to get under the shade of that parasol. What a difference it makes, really. If you've ever been caught, and I don't know, have you ever been caught out in the blazing sun? It has happened to me a couple of times. And I can sort of take the heat, and so can Helen. Like we walked, when we were out at Lenny's, we walked to, now you'll understand this distance, Lenny, La Mata, from your apartment. Now you usually take the bus. Now I have to be honest, we got the bus back. I don't know how many men it was. And Helen and I don't wear, what do you call them? Caps. What do you call them? Another wee hats. We never wore them. But boy, I can tell you, see by the time we got to La Mata, I was glad to get into a restaurant to get something cool to drink. It was blistering hot. So if you've ever experienced that, you know what it's like. I do remember on one occasion taking a trip down south to Loch Mucknow. I took a group of men on a fishing trip. And it was a really, really hot day. And the part of the island that we were on, there was some shade. There was a tree line. And most sensible people, after a while, went into the shade of the trees and just kept an eye on their rods. But this fella, he was different. Whenever the sun would move around, he literally would position himself so that the sun was hitting him full on. And I thought, boy, you're going to pay for that later. That was on a Saturday. On Sunday, it was the time I was going to Lurganeadam. On the Sunday, he wasn't in church. And I said to someone on the door, I said, I haven't seen so-and-so in church this morning. Is he not? He says he's in bed. He says he's as sick as he can be with sunstroke. I went, right. I wasn't one bit surprised. So the sun can be deadly, folks. But what a picture David gives us here in this scripture of that bird. People take refuge in the shadow. And I mean, when I say the bird, I mean our God, our divine eagle, shadowing us under his divine wings. God's unfailing love, it satisfies us completely. You know, sometimes you hear in marriages for different reasons that people aren't satisfied. David was satisfied. This is what he wrote in Psalm 90, 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. And the truth is, and I've encountered it during my counselling years, sadly many people have ended up unsatisfied in love, resulting in failing love for them. And that's sad. I was thinking, you know, there are lots of celebrities with multiple marriages. And it was quite interesting when I did my little search. We'll start from the least. Well, not the least, but low, and work our way up. Jennifer Lopez, well-known actor, married 3 times, Tom Cruise, well-known actor, married 3 times. Liza Minnelli, well-known singer, I think, and actor, married 4 times. Joan Collins, 5 times married. Laurie King, that American TV chat host, he was married 8 times. Elizabeth Taylor, many times do you think she was married? Spot on, Lenny. 8. Good man. And topping the list that I could find was Zsa Gabor. Wasn't she an actress? Married 9 times. So what does that tell you about people being dissatisfied about something in their relationship with one another? Sometimes when I was doing the counselling, the case was that either one or the other spouse had had an affair with someone else and the trust in the relationship was broken. Often divorce proceedings took place due to the unfaithfulness being cited as the main cause for the divorce. And this is what I found during those times of counselling, that when trust ends in a relationship, it is often a downhill spiral from there, but doesn't come up again. I've heard in some of my counselling sessions, people say, "How can I trust you?" Or, "I can never trust you again." But what great comfort and peace, folks, comes from knowing that the Lord will never abandon us or set us aside for someone else. The Lord will always be faithful to us. We read that in Psalm 117. "For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Folks, there's very little in this life endures forever. Very little. When you think of all the different possessions that we maybe possess, and sometimes whenever we're purchasing things, we like to go for the named brand, don't we? We like to go for the quality product and we'll pay that little bit extra to get it. Because in our heart of hearts, we believe, well, if you pay a bit more, if you pay a bit extra, it's going to last that bit longer. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But at the end of the day, I guarantee you that somewhere you've had to buy another one. You can go out and you can buy the dearest fridge, the dearest washing machine, the dearest cooker, the dearest whatever appliance. It will not endure forever. It won't. If you look at it another way, even our own bodies, they're not going to endure forever. Some of us, our joints are worn out, are wearing out. We have arthritis, we have pains here, pains there. This body that we possess in now, it's not intended to endure forever. But the good news is one day we will get a body, a heavenly body that will endure forever. And praise God, we Phyllis has got her heavenly body now. No more pain, no more suffering. "For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." I've got to my conclusions quick tonight, folks, because you're going to get home early. I cannot think of a better relationship to be in than one where unfailing, faithful love is guaranteed forever. Get that again. I cannot think of a better relationship to be in than one where unfailing, faithful love is guaranteed forever. Do you remember a number of years ago we used to sing this chorus? "Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. Do you know some of the old courses were the best? There are not many things in life that are unfailing and will endure forever, but the love of God will. The love of God will endure forever because his love is unfailing. His faithfulness is unfailing. He can't fail us. And that's why I think the psalmist, he talked about dwelling on it, about thinking about it. Why would he do that? Because there was times in his life, folks, when he was in real trouble. There was times in his life when his back was against the wall. There was a time in his life when Saul was trying to kill him. His own son, Absalom, was trying to kill him. There was just so much right throughout his life that went on that he took great comfort and joy from thinking about and living in and under, if you like, those wings of his God. We sang about it at the very beginning of our service, about love divine. And folks, God's love is divine. And it's only because it's divine that it is unfailing and that it faithfully endures forever. You do not get that in human relationships. It's only through the divine love of our God in heaven. Another hymn writer wrote these words: "There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fail or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all." Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul, Jesus pleadeth with thee. Folks, it is so true that Jesus' love is a precious love. It's boundless, it's pure, and it's free. And it's extended to each and every one of us. And I know that you know that here tonight. But I just hope and I trust and I pray that, and me too, will appreciate more and more of what that means to us. That God's love divine, all love's excelling. That love that won't let us go. That love that's there irrespective of how good we are. Or at times maybe when we're not so good. God's love is unfailing and it's also unconditional. It's not dependent on how great we are. Thank God. I read this scripture at the very beginning. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." You know, there's an appeal at the end of this here. But because I know people here tonight, I'm not sure if that appeal is warranted, but I'm going to give it anyway. And the appeal is this: if we have not done so already, I pray that we will put our trust in the unfailing love of God and rejoice. And rejoice in the goodness of the Lord's unfailing love. Amen. Amen.